Mexico City Philharmonic. Did they come to you and say, we have to have you as our music director?
Well, yes, I had been called at the last minute sometime 4 years ago or 5 years ago, I forget now, to fill in. Somebody had canceled. And they said, are you free next week? And I happened to be free the following, you know, that week. They said, what do you want to conduct? So I said, let's do Rite of Spring. Good, okay, fine, no problem. So we did Rite of Spring, and the orchestra and I fell in love with each other. Then there was a search committee formed of distinguished musicians and public figures and so on. And I was recommended, and I was interviewed by the committee, and they offered me a job. I took it over immediately and have been there for now 4 years.
How do you reconcile your schedule, your scheduling problems there between Pasadena and...
Well, it's easy. It's like having two girlfriends. You don't schedule them both at the same time. And so when I'm not with one, I'm with the other.
A very funny way of putting it.
Well, it actually makes it real clear.
Oh, sure. Does the Mexico City Philharmonic have any qualities that set it apart from other orchestras?
Well, one of the properties or one of the qualities of the orchestra is that even though they have gone through some really rough times labor-wise, they have never lost their complete commitment and tremendous intensity when they play. And we've had international artists who've come down to be soloists with the orchestra, and they've all remarked on this incredible, uncanny giving of themselves to the performance. So this is something that very often does not happen with other orchestras. One orchestra that does, for example, that I've conducted, that has the same quality in spite of some difficulties that they've had in the past is the Cincinnati Symphony, an orchestra that gives its all. And it's wonderful to be able to work with an orchestra like that, a full-time orchestra that gives its all, because it's so easy for a full-time orchestra to become routinized and to become bored and to lose that edge that makes a performance come across the footlights as a commitment.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that there's a wide variety of international people in the orchestra.
Yeah, it's composed of many Mexicans, many Americans, many Russians, a few Polish people. That's basically the makeup.
Now, do all these people live in Mexico when they're not...
Oh, sure.
Playing with,
oh, sure. I mean, this is a full-time orchestra. They play 10 months a year, every week a different program. This is a big orchestra.
Yeah.
Now, think of what they've done. In the year 2000, even though it was not the beginning of the millennium, but the end of the previous one, I thought that it would be a very good idea to do something that no other orchestra in the world has done. I did a retrospective of the 20th century. Since they played 10 months a year, every month was devoted to a different decade of the 20th century. January was devoted to music from 1901 to 1910, February 1911 to 1920, and so on until December, where the music had ink that was still wet. Now, first of all, imagine an orchestra playing full seasons with nothing other than 20th century music. Not a single 19th century, not a single 18th century piece was performed during the whole year. And the orchestra thought that this was one of the greatest things that they've ever lived through, as did the audience.
It must have been extremely challenging for the orchestra.
Well, you know, you start in the 1970s and 80s, and very often they're playing a whole month pieces that they've not even heard of, much less played.
And I'm sure that no orchestra in the United States even attempted
anything. Well, you can't do that in the United States, because here in the United States there is a great fear of unknown names. You see, and even now, if you play the Rite of Spring in some places, they still think it's too modern, even though it was written last century.
Mm-hmm. So how did the audiences in Mexico cotton to?
There was a great, great excitement. And in Mexico, it's a very strange thing, because they have such limited access. It's because there's such limited access, or because there is not this grown fear of knuckle music. They come because it's a musical experience, and they're open to enjoying whatever goes on. I just did a performance at the beginning of September, outdoors in Chapultepec Park. There was about 3,000 people sitting in the middle among the trees and from the trees hanging and so on. And it took me about a 45-minute period to be able to extricate myself from the kids who showed up that wanted autographs. You know, now, when do you see kids' concerts in other countries?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know what the... I'm not sure what the educational system is like in Mexico, because I've never looked into it that much, but something must attract them to music.
There's a spiritual freedom. I don't believe that has anything to do with the educational system. I think it's possible, just as, for example, Korean and Chinese and Japanese parents encourage their children to take up a musical instrument, and as you know, many orchestras, especially youth orchestras in this country, are made up in large part with Oriental players. It's very possible that going to a symphony concert is considered in Mexico to be a way of transcending a rather modest experience away from music.
How much Mexican music did you perform during this this period?
There was quite a lot of a whole list of not only Mexican music, but also of Mexican soloists who appeared with us and keep appearing with us.
Who's your favorite Mexican composer, or do you have one?
Well, there's a really wonderful living composer. His name is Mario Lista, and he's written some very, very beautiful pieces. I've performed a couple of them, and the orchestra has performed other pieces with other conductors. And there's also Arturo Márquez, who is the man who has written one of the, you know, when you're known for one piece, it's sad when you have other wonderful pieces, but he's written this Danzón Número Dos, cute piece. And so, you know, I love their music.
Does the orchestra tour in Mexico?
They used to tour. Then there's been some, with the change of government in Mexico 2 years ago, even though it's the same party, new people came in, then there was a change between being the an organization, a government organization, looking after the orchestra and other cultural things. It became suddenly a secretariat. It was a, so now the same people are now the Secretariat of Culture, and with that comes a whole bunch of bureaucratic changes, which put a dead stop to a lot of what goes on. So we haven't toured since I've been there.
Do many Mexican composers come to you with manuscripts?
Well, we put out a nationwide announcement, and we told them that, you know, we gave the contours of the parameters of how it was organized and what we expected, and that we would devote an hour to reading each one of them once they were chosen. Okay? Guess what? In all of Mexico, only 5 composers sent in a piece. Pretty scary. That means that a lot of Mexican composers are living elsewhere. Of the 5, I chose 4 because one was written in an unplayable fashion. And we've now read 2 of them, and it was amazing to see the commitment of the orchestra to this, because usually orchestras hate to read composers' music, you know, as a kind of an educational thing. But these musicians have a tremendous spirit, and so it was an extremely positive experience.
Were they all people who had, you assume, graduated at least at some...
Well, they had,
level.
I mean, they're all, you know, in their 20s, and they're all, part of the deal was that they are to bring their teacher with them to this reading, so that they are able to not to absorb what they're hearing, but also to be advised by the teacher who's also listening to the same thing. So it was a good experience. The other one, we sent out another, what they call convocatoria, for soloists under the age of 30, and to submit tapes or videos or whatever, and the winner would be given a chance to perform during the regular season. We got 79 tapes, and out of those we had to wean it down to 9, and the finals are going to be at the end of September. And we're going to, at this point, it looks to me as though some of those finalists are going to have to be offered place to in the following seasons because there were some really good ones.
What instruments?
Well, one violin, one piano, one clarinet, one flute, two marimbas, mm-hmm. one guitar, and one soprano.